When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the time.
Well, hello and welcome to the 21st episode of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is your host, Amy Hackett-Jones, happiness and high performance coach for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. The Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites our listeners, that's you, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of inspirational teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that our listeners may step into being the very best version of themselves. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. And today's guest is, of course, no exception. This is Trish Ward, the soulful nutritionist. Now, I met Trish, I think, 2 or 3 years ago in California on a high-performance coaching program. So we know from the get-go that Trish is all about high performance.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And deeply connected to the body, mind, and spirit, and how she connects that to nutrition, therefore the soulful nutritionist. So, Trish, welcome on the show.
Thank you. I am thrilled to be here, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's just so wonderful to connect with you again.
I know. Really, it's lovely.
Oh, just breathing into this space. It's just fantastic. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. I just want to read a little bit more about your bio because it's just so fascinating, and then we're going to dive right in. So, Trish, individuals discover the food and lifestyle habits that work specifically for their unique biochemistry and soul journey. But this is fascinating. I can't wait to dive in. So that they can live symptom-free with abundant energy, stamina, and joy. Now, who doesn't want a lot of that?
Right? Absolutely. It's our quest.
And she firmly believes that merging soul and science is where the magic of life is. In her years of practice, she has seen time and time again that both one's physiology and psychology need to be in alignment to find true health. She offers committed individuals an opportunity to reclaim their physical health and embrace their deep connection to self and spirit. Goodness me, there's so much in there. I can't wait. Yay!
All right.
So, Trish... Just tell us a little bit about your story and how you got to be the soulful nutritionist. Tell us about you and your story to start off with.
Sure. Thank you. Absolutely. So I literally like to tell people that I kind of ran right into it. And when I say that, people usually look at me with a puzzled look on their face, but it was actually quite literal. I am a mother of three children. And when my second child was born, he was born with special needs. And the way that I coped instead of traditional therapy was I found a pair of running shoes. And I ran and I ran and I ran. And sometimes I think when you do things so much, you get really good at it. So I ironically then became a competitive runner. It was just like this outlet therapeutically, but then I got good at it. And my initial coaches were like, hey, Trish, you know, just keep at it, keep going. And I was really slipping. I had hit a point where I couldn't keep up. And, you know, because you two are a triathlete, but in running, you know, seconds matter. So I was like, God, what is going on? You know, what, something is really not going right. I'm slipping by 2 minutes. Okay. So I ended up interviewing other coaches, and this one woman sat me down. She was an amazing, amazing athlete, Olympic trials marathoner. And she said, the first thing she said to me was like, hey, have you done your panels? And I looked at her and I was like, panels, what are you talking about? And she goes, yeah, your micronutrient panels. Do you have those? I said, I've never done them. They just keep telling me to eat more and I'll have more energy. She goes, no. So sure enough, I did my panels and I was completely depleted in ferritin, which is a energy component of iron, vitamin B and vitamin D. So it was very realistic now. I could understand why I felt like I was dragging elephants through sand when I was running. So with that, I became just fascinated with nutrition and how it played a role, really, quite selfishly initially, in my performance. But as I delved into it deeper and deeper, I thought, okay, wait a minute, this could actually totally help my son. And so I started playing with his diet initially through mine, because I was a nursing mother, but then really through his own diet. And I found that it made a huge difference in his focus, in his ability to move. And it kind of just set me off on this trajectory of like, oh, okay, there's a whole underlying thing here that really is the basis, foundational kind of health platform for people. And it's what we put in our mouth, because we all need to eat, right, for sustainable living. Yeah. What we eat truly matters to our own biochemistry. I really believe that we are all chemistry sets. You know, no, not one of us is alike. And as we age, that changes, right? But that's kind of how I ran into it, was that I ran into it.
Wow. I love that we're all chemistry set. It's brilliant.
Right? Because we see all over the place that it's like, oh, do this diet, do this. This is going to work for you. And, you know, it really might not. And so we have this dogma that gets ingrained in our subconscious of like, I got to do this. This works. But it really, truly might not at this particular time work for someone. And so it's listening to that intuitive and listening to that, that body signals. We've gotten kind of good at ignoring those.
Yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. And so how did you start listening to those body signals? I mean, obviously you felt it felt depleted, but was there more of a sign for you? What were you sort of listening out for? And
right. Well, I definitely hit, I burned myself out completely. My adrenals on paper, my science was showing that I had nothing. But then emotionally and mentally, it just coupled it, right? I was completely tanked in almost all buckets of life. And, I realized looking back, it was like, whoa, you know, at that stage in time, if I could have told my younger self, hey, take some time, like just back off. It's not, what I didn't realize is that I would come back stronger. You know, when you're in it, sometimes you're just like, no, I got to do this because if I take it, you start looking outside of your blinders, and that's where we all get kind of messed up, right? Like just stay in your lane. Sometimes you need to go out, but most readily we need to just stay in our lane and listen to what works for us. And I really should have backed off in those early years from training, and I didn't. And I ended up paying the price later on in life. I really hit stage 3 adrenal fatigue, and that's when you basically can't do anything and you just have to repair yourself. So you get the lessons you need, right, when you need them. They don't always come in the package you want. But I got it loud and clear.
Isn't it just so funny? It sort of seems to be part of the human condition that yes, we all – you know, our parents and our coaches and everybody can give us the best advice in the world, but actually we have to go out there and make those mistakes, or not even mistakes, we just have to get the lessons ourselves.
That's right. Oh, I
know that, that you know, stress is a huge factor in life today, in so many different facets, whether it's relationships, whether it's work, whether it's, you know, illness and all sorts. And yet we keep going and we keep going and we keep going until we drop.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That's what I see a lot in my practice too, are people that are on the verge of dropping. And they either have dropped, they are in the middle of dropping, or they just know it's coming. And I love serendipity, because I had a call earlier this morning about this exact same thing. So when people come into my practice, of course I can help them nutritionally and with their biochemistry. But what we end up looking at a lot is their psychology, because, you know, in the first 3 weeks of getting a new plan, everyone's excited. You know, you can do it. It's something new. You either, like we just said, you don't feel too well, so you're motivated to get well. But what happens in this magical time is around 3 weeks, this rebel comes out, this violent inner rebel that we all have. She or he emerges and is just like, rah, and they start screaming no, like, what do you mean? I can't have this anymore. I'm not doing that. You know, and we just start, that's who we end up fighting, instead of just kind of allowing that person or that part of us to be there. And we know this through, you know, many amazing workings, but just kind of observing that person and then figuring out how to move forward anyway. Because when we put this concept of like, no, I can never have that, and I can't eat this, it sets that negative tone, and it's a limiter. And so if we can kind of switch it so we can work with it in our life. Now, granted, if you have certain diseases, there are certain things nutritionally that I would say probably never. But it's rare, because our body is constantly changing, as is our mind and our souls. We keep evolving. Our body is as well. So it's like biochemically, food can change rapidly within us. Like every 3 to 6 months, different foods will have different reactions in our body. Most of the time, the average person like us, we don't know it, because we're not having these overt signs of discomfort. But it changes. It's constantly changing. So it's learning, much like business, much like relationships, much like, you know, everything in life, when we can just ever so slightly take a pivot and then reevaluate and take a pivot and reevaluate. And that's exactly what we do in practice, is look at we look at what I call the Dress for Health Success Protocol. As an FDN, we look at diet, we look at rest, we look at exercise, we look at stress reduction, and we look at supplementation. And like you said, stress reduction is a big, huge piece of it, because if I can't get someone to actually honor the protocol after 3 weeks, that's kind of, it's a bummer for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, and yet we live, like you said, at this clip that is, we aren't just kind of running along. We're sprinting a lot of the time. And so learning how to turn that psychologically down in our head, so we can bring up some of those other buckets in that Dress for Health Success protocol, then we can kind of find a homeostasis. We can find somewhat of a balance. And that's what we're striving for.
Gosh, it seems I've had a lot of stress conversations with people lately on the topic of stress, not stressed conversations and such, but on the topic of stress. And we all come back to this need for holistic approach and an alignment between, as you're saying, the, you know, what we're putting in our bodies, and how how each of our bodies functions differently according to the levels of stress hormones and all sorts that we've got running through us. But then
that's
also
right.
Aligning that with the soul, you know, the emotional side of it, the physical side of it, and the soulful side of it.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Sometimes, when I speak to people initially, they just sort of tend to glaze over. Because it seems like so much to undertake. So I guess one of my questions to you would be, how do you, in your practice, how do you simplify that so that people don't get sort of overwhelm when they first start?
Good question. And overwhelm is a scary word, right? And it happens to a lot of us. So initially, like you said, looking at both what I call primary food, which is relationships, business, jobs, children, and then secondary food, you know, the nutrients we actually put in our mouth, and finding that balance takes small steps. And so in the primary foods arena, I sit down with people and or virtually I have them open up their calendar and we look at their calendar and we truly mark off. I know we've heard this 8 billion times, but we mark off days that are required for fun. And it's funny because I mean, working with high powered adults that do just miraculous things in the world, which is everybody, right? Just if they're their true self. But having them mark off and saying you must have, it's like a prescription for fun. And it's kind of like, oh, what? What do I do? Because we're always turned on, right? Because our phone, we have a phone. We're always dialed in. And it wasn't like that when I was growing up. I you know, the 70s kid, we didn't have all this. So when I look at my kids, I'm always like, wow, I need to really make it a point to have them not be so dialed in. But getting people in front of their calendar, putting a big X on at least 2 days during the week where one day is definitely having fun and the other day is just where you kind of do a mini shut off and you reground yourself, whatever that would be. I usually encourage nature. That is where, for me, actually personally, that's where I feel most connected. And everyone just has a different perspective, right? We can walk away from the emails and the phones and the to-do list because it's going to be there. We know that. And we have to truly then calm our central nervous system down, calm our physiology down so our brain can accept our neurotransmitters to actually work and have serotonin and dopamine get to that part of the brain to actually make us feel good. So I have people start on the primary level with just looking at their calendar and Xing out 2 days. Or I usually say, okay, let's start with a day and a half, and then we'll work our way up to 2 days. Because I know initially someone saying, I got to take 2 days out, and be like, ah, what? So let's start with a day, and then ideally we're looking at two. Then when it comes to the secondary food, which is actually the nutrients, you know, there are things that your listeners have probably already heard, but really looking at labels is the number one thing. Seeing where there's stuffed sugar in pretty much everything, and taking the time to remove the temptations. So really just looking at your pantry and your refrigerator and removing the foods that would be a temptation. I kind of have a rule that if it's in a bag or a box, it's not really food. It's not food. It's food-like, but our body isn't going to read it. It's going to wreak havoc on your digestion. It's probably going to play with your mood, raise anxiety levels, and it's going to cause inflammation. And those are all things that affect our focus and affect us in the other buckets of life that dress for health. Simple things, maybe not always easy, because some listeners might have families. I know I do too. But the reality is like the bottom line of all of it is that it takes time. And time is the commodity that we all want on this planet. So this is how it ties into to self-worth here is I hear a lot of times, oh, I don't have time. Are you kidding me? I don't have time. Can someone prepare the meal for me? Can someone do this for me? I need to – do you have a takeout thing you can suggest? And I'm always going like, whoa. Okay, wow. And I get it. I am a mom of three. And my husband was crazy. But I heard Tony Robbins say something once, and it has stuck with me for years. He said, if you don't have 10 minutes, you don't have a life. And I was like, whoa, okay. I think about that a lot because, you know, busy seasons of life, it happens to be a busy season now, right, with the holidays approaching. However, truly 10 minutes a day to prepare your own food is doable. It truly is doable. If you don't have 10 minutes, I'm really not sure what you're doing. Probably mindlessly looking on Facebook or checking other social media platforms, which I know for most people is a way to numb out, right? It's a way to chill out. But if we can reframe it and see, you know, being in our kitchen, including our loved ones with, hey, I need you to chop that bell pepper and you to do that cucumber, and see it as a way of loving yourself and setting yourself up for success, is a habit, and it takes time, but it's so worth it. I remember that
quote you just said about from Tony Robbins was brilliant. And there was one from Buddha as well, who said that everybody needed to meditate for 20 minutes a day. And that if you didn't have 20 minutes to meditate, then you have to meditate for 60 minutes.
I love it. That is actually another tool I use often in my practice. And again, with, you know, high achievers and high performers, it's like, and I raised my hand to this too. When I first started meditating, I wanted to, like, oh my God, all the lists that were going through my head. It was like, how do I do this? This is always, you know, and I still, to this day, I'm not a 60-minute meditator, but I've gotten up to, like, at a good 15 solid minutes, and I see the payoff. But let's be honest, I did not start at 15 minutes. I started at 3 because my favorite app is Calm, C-A-L-M, and you can time it. And I thought to myself, okay, if I jump right into 10, I won't do this. Like, I know myself. I won't do this. I will just be, like, pulling my hair out. So I just started really small. And I think that's what happens a lot, is that people start and they take this gargantuan step when you just got to take a mini step. Just put your toe in. And then, oh, that's not so bad. Okay, I was able to eat, you know, 80% of my meals at home today. That's good. And I drank more water. And that's funny. I'm not having a 4 p.m. slump. Okay, I'm gonna repeat this. And I think people think it's like this big, huge thing. And that's where the overwhelm comes in, when it's just really tiny micro steps just strung together. Now, again, if someone has, you know, an autoimmune issue or a disease or whatnot, yes, of course, it might be a little bit more complex initially. But for the everyday person who just is looking to really stay on top of their health, so it really helps in their everyday performance, it's small steps. Clean out your pantry, get rid of the temptation, and get some sleep. That's the other component that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge. I remember that from my triathlon training days. I was working full days. I was usually out in the evenings, networking and all that sort of thing, and up in the morning at 4 o'clock training. I probably got 4 or 5 hours sleep a night for a long while, and then, you know, like you, reached burnout as well.
Oh yeah. Athletes, you know, and it's amazing when people enter my practice, typically, you know, because we live in this fast sprinting world, they want to be feeling amazing by Friday. Let's say they enter Monday, they want to feel great by Friday. And I always try and remind them, you know, hey, it took decades to get here, guys. It took decades. We can live in a state of suspended stress. And I don't mean just mental, emotional. We can live in a state of physical stress where we are pumping out cortisol and adrenaline for decades. Athletes are great poster kids for this, me being one of them, and you as well. And we don't even know it, because we can sustain it. You got up at 4, you worked, you networked, everything was going great. But something happens, you know, when people come in their 40s, which I am myself, and it's kind of like, whoa, this hormone thing is real. What is going on? Well, it's just a collection of everything. If you look over your shoulder, that you kind of collected for the last couple decades, how long you pushed yourself. And it's not necessarily bad. You typically don't feel 100% and well, and you have brain fog and an extra fluff around the middle, and that's not so fun, and the genes don't feel good, men and women both. But there is a way to heal that. It takes a little bit of time, but we need to just remember, we need to be kind. It took a while to get here. It's going to take just a little bit to get out.
Absolutely.
So
this is Amy Hackett Jones with Trish Ward, the Soulful Nutritionist. And if anybody would like to call in and ask Trish a question, if you're in the States, the number is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. If you're outside the States, then send me a message on Facebook, ask me the question, and I'll pose it to Trish. So there we go, 646-716-7979. So Trish, how can people get a hold of you if they are looking to find out more about your services?
Absolutely. They can find me at my website, which is www.trishmward.com. They can find me on Facebook, which is Trish M. Ward. They can find me on Instagram. In fact, I would love that because I'm posting a bunch of holiday tips and tricks, which is at Trish M. Ward. Same thing on LinkedIn and Twitter, Trish M. Ward. I would love to hear from them.
Wonderful. And yes, especially in the run-up to Christmas, which is when we all tend to overindulge.
Right? Exactly. Yep, I can help you stay
absolutely
on the train.
Now, I want to ask you a little bit more about, you know, this theory that it takes 21 days of consistent focus to change a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when, because I have my own experience of this and of self-sabotage, as do most of us. So what typically happens at the 21-day mark? Do you find people... because I know in your text you talk about committed individuals, and that number one is you know it has to be that they are committed and they follow
Absolutely.
Through. So if you find someone who's 100% committed and they do the work for 21 days, where do you typically find they are at the 3-week mark?
That's a really great question. Feeling much better. For two reasons. Number one, like I said, we're working on that primary food connection, right? That which gives us joy and connection, relationships, job, all that good stuff. But we are also very specifically working on secondary nutrients. So I'm looking biochemically to kind of change the biochemistry that's going on within the person. And how that happens initially when someone comes to me, again, without a precondition or disease, everyone that comes with me starts on an elimination diet, which eliminates the 7 main food allergen triggers. And after 21 days, it actually takes about 23 days for all antibodies to stop being produced in the body and be washed out. Those are little proteins that help us when it says, hey, there's a foreigner here. We need to help keep the body safe. And once those are flushed out, the mental fog goes away, the belly bloat goes away, the focus comes back, you're sleeping like a baby, you don't need a nap or a candy bar or a coffee at 4 o'clock. You just have this natural energy. And so that allows for the sustained commitment because we're human. And so we start to look sometimes off track. But if we have our physiology in play, intact, it's way easier to say, oh yeah, no, literally no. No, thank you, I'm good. I don't want that extra glass of wine. I don't want that food. Oh gosh, it's so much easier to say no. And it's just a chain reaction. When we do that, we truly will sleep better. Our food plays a big role into how we sleep. So does our gut health. And so when we can put good food and get good rest, we're just overall better. So I buy into 21 day. I buy into probably just a little bit longer than that, to be honest, about 23 days. But there's something to it.
Yeah. And what are these 7 main food allergens? Because I know there's a lot of talk, you know, over the last few years about gluten, about lactose.
It's dairy, corn, soy, caffeine, chocolate, alcohol.
So just repeat that again slowly. Dairy, corn.
Sure. Gluten, dairy, corn, soy, caffeine, sugar, and alcohol.
Wow.
Right? That's and you say that to someone and they look at you and want to cry.
I know.
Oh, gosh. I know that feeling.
Uh-huh. I remember a video I saw probably a good 4 or 5 years ago now on the internet, and I tried looking again for it later but couldn't find it. And it was a guy who was talking about sugar and cheese, and he told two stories. One was, if you had a fairly newborn baby and you walk into a room and you give it just a little bit of sugar solution, like sugar and water, and then you walk out And then a few minutes later, you walk back in with 30 people at the same time, that baby will be fixated on you because you gave it the sugar. And it's like, wow. It's like a drug. Yeah.
Oh, no, it truly is a drug. If you go on my website, or actually one of my blogs, if your listeners can go right on my Facebook page, you will see a picture. And Amy, I think we even talked about this maybe via social media. I posted a picture of the brain on sugar lit up and the brain on cocaine, and it's the very same part of the brain that gets lit, and actually sugar lights it up more than cocaine.
I remember seeing that. Oh my God, it was just incredible.
It is. And people are eating grams of sugar. Like what we really ideally want to see in any human is about around 40 grams a day of sugar. And that's obviously natural sugar is most desirable and whatnot. People are eating upwards of 120. I mean, kids in their lunches are eating sometimes 180. It is so scary what we're doing. And it just, you know, we need to just be aware. Most of your, because they're high performers, but, you know, it gets stuffed into a lot of food that we're not even really aware of. Even this good, quote, organic, natural food, still really need to look at the labels.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other story this guy was talking about was how, as humans, we've been sort of duped into believing that drinking dairy, drinking milk is a really good thing for us and good for calcium and all the rest of it. And he did this survey and asked, I don't know how many people, what would be the number one food that you most certainly couldn't give up? It was, you know, he phrased it better than that, but it was something like that. And it wasn't chocolate, it wasn't sugar. The number one food that people got irate about, even suggesting that they should give it up, is cheese.
Oh, absolutely. It's an opiate enhancer. That's why.
Yes.
It is an addiction.
When he explained that, obviously milk, like cow's milk, is designed for a baby cow.
That's right.
And that in the milk, it has an opiate effect on the baby cow, on the calf, so that it sticks with its mother and it keeps feeding.
That's right.
That's why.
Exactly. No, truly, truly. And it's amazing.
And the number of people that got irate, it's like, I will never give up cheese. I'll never give up my pizzas. And I'm just like, wow.
I hear that all the time, to be honest with you. And then when I finally, you know, can really have someone try it, how they feel is just unbelievably amazing. It takes that, you know, it takes that grit, because I'm not even going to lie. The first 7 to 10 days, they're rough. They are rough. You're detoxifying. You're coming off some pretty strong stuff. Food. but once you're through that window, and you've done it because you're an athlete, so you know how eating clean can really help you. It's a big deal. It's a big deal because we want convenience. We're not just buying delicious food. We're buying convenience because we go back to the time issue that we all need to work on.
Yeah. My coach once said to me that that your agenda, your diary, your schedule, whichever you call it, is a direct reflection of what's going on in your mind.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's something to think about.
Right. And at different points. Oh, that's scary. Yeah. That can't be scary.
So I want to play the song that you chose. Just as a little interlude here, because it's such a brilliant song. And in fact, it's so brilliant and so in tune with being brilliant, this whole radio show, that you're the third of my 21 guests to choose this song.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
It's got to be good. So here we go. Here is Can't Stop the Feeling.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes.
Goodness, can't stop the feeling. That's the third time we've had that on this show. Trish M. Ward, soulful nutritionist, tell us why you chose that song.
First of all, because it just seeps into the cells of my body and makes me just need to dance. And then, you know, it speaks to just being who we are and sharing joy with one another. That is the deepest form of love, connection, and really optimal health, in my opinion. I've shared some real fun dance times with this song. Like I shared earlier, my middle child has special needs, and so he plays on this fantastic baseball team, and those kids just, they bring out the best in you. And so that song had come up at one of the games, and everyone just was dancing. It was just such a great memory to think about. So I just love the song.
Oh, wonderful. That's such a great way to experience that song in such an uplifting environment. Amazing. I Can't Stop the Feeling by Justin Timberlake. And for those who so desire to get some sunshine in their pockets, go to iTunes and there you can buy it and download it. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is Amy Hackett-Jones with Trish M. Ward, soulful nutritionist extraordinaire. Oh, my goodness. So I want to know a little bit more about the rebel that you mentioned, because one of the points you talked about was how the all or nothing approach forgets about the rebel that lives in us all and why it sets us up for self-sabotage and failure. So tell us
Absolutely.
A little bit about that rebel, because I'm fascinated.
Yeah, isn't it, oh man, and I, you know, it took me, gosh, I want to say decades, right, because we're always growing forward or maybe failing forward or both. It took me a while to honor my own rebel. You know, when I was, we've all been through, you know, challenges in our life, and there was one point where I was really struggling, and I remember my mom took me aside, and it was almost amazing, actually, because it was a conversation I remember distinctly with her where she actually wasn't mothering me. She was kind of just being a guide, and I can remember, and I think I was in college, and I was just struggling, and she was just like, you know, honey, you need to honor your dark side. And I was like, what? This is kind of the first part of opening up, and she didn't connect me to this Native American woman who just radically changed my life. It's one of the greatest mentors ever, has since transitioned on, but really allowed me to be okay with this kind of sassy, sexy, darker part of me that is just like the rebel. I don't like boxes. I don't like, you know, to be told what to do, all that good stuff. I'm sure many of your listeners can relate. And so what I found is that this rebel resides in all of us. It wasn't, some people can keep this part of them at bay a little bit and tamed and calm, but he or she really serves a purpose too. They allow us to pivot when we need to, allow us to trust our intuit when something really feels off and we feel this anger or usually it's anger that comes up, right? That's a big sign of not being in alignment with what the choice is or what's on. And I realized when my mom was telling me this, I was in anger and I was in constant anger and just finding the most negative things about everything. And so I needed to make a change. And that's what this rebel allows us to do. So when people are engaged in an experience, a nutritional experience with me, like I shared earlier, if I tell them, hey, you can't have this, okay, initially they'll be like, okay, fine. But around week three, they're like, oh, heck no. And they binge. They just set themselves up for a binge. You know, a lot of times it can be alcohol or it's food and they just eat to the point of feeling ill. And so I kind of bring in this concept of 80-20 where 80% of the time, you know, dial it in for your biochemistry. You know what works for you. You know what good is. Just tap into that. And then 20%, enjoy yourself. There's going to be events and weddings and all these good things that we'll be a part of. Holidays are part of that. But within reason, so we don't have this all or nothing, like absolutely not. Because in any arena, food, life, whatever, when we take that all or nothing, we're setting ourselves up to fail. We are going to get off that path. It's not possible. We're human. It's just not sustainable life. It's meant for many paths. So we can keep learning and growing. So the rebel piece of it is interesting because a lot of people, we're not taught as children to honor that side of us, right? It's usually when we're told, like, hey, be quiet. Stop talking. Don't talk. Or you're being a little too rambunctious. Come on now. You know, and that is the cellular memory we have.
Yeah.
And yet he or she has probably gotten us out of some sticky situations. So it's learning how to walk or just observe, like, oh, there you are again. Because sometimes maybe they're not the most desirable, you know, character choices to come through us at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times they are the antenna that something needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And this is so fascinating because it also ties in with what you were saying earlier about having fun. Like that rebel is more often than not what I found with my clients as well, is that it's the creative side. It's the fun side. It's the daredevil. It's the, you know, and I've been such a goody two-shoes for, you know, all my school life and this, that, and the other. I was always, you know, dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's and all sorts of things. And it wasn't until I got to university that I started letting my hair down. And even then, like when I started on this path of sort of spiritual path and coaching and everything, I remember my very first coach, Hawk. Hi, Hawk, if you're listening. he was always trying to get me to have more fun and to do more outlandish, crazy things and just let rip and make myself get embarrassed, you know, do things that I would never dream of doing in a normal sort of English rose sort of box. And it put me to the edge of my comfort zone every single time. But gosh, as well, how much it stretched me and build my confidence, and you know, just in so many ways. So it is honoring that rebel is so fundamental, and I'm really glad you put that as a point and we're able to discuss it now.
Oh yay, yes, thank you. Me too. And that's so funny because one of my best coaches ever told me the exact same thing. Trish, go have more fun. Pencil in fun.
Yeah.
And when you want to vibrationally change a situation, you need to have fun. And I was like, you know, it's so crazy that in our world, we have to put it on a to-do list, right?
Yeah.
But we do until it becomes more of a habit.
Yeah. And I find, and maybe some of our listeners will find as well, is that for a very long time, and even sometimes now, I find my ego, you know, my small thinking mind, I find it rebels against that time. So often it will find sneaky ways around forgetting to do, you know, it will make me forget to do my meditation practice, or it will make me forget to have my bit of fun for the day, or to go outside and connect with nature for the day, or whatever those things are that I schedule in. And then I catch myself, and then I have to laugh at myself and at my ego for having taken me out of the game. So I get right back in there again, and I go outside and I connect with nature, or whatever it is. I create an opportunity. Just like yesterday, I created an opportunity to go horse riding and to get out in nature. It was a beautiful, cold, crisp, clear blue winter sky, and it was just the most perfect thing to do, to get out. And horses are so healing as well. They're such brilliant, intuitive animals. And then for an hour, I just had the most amazing time.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, it was. And I had so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. You had fun. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times too, when people make commitments in their life, and it just so happens in my arena, it's the commitment to health. What we get down to honoring the rebel and getting into the deep work is, who will I be then? You know, who will I be if I can't complain about irritable bowel syndrome, or who will I be if I can't complain about fibromyalgia? Like, oh my God, that's my identity. That's how my husband basically does everything for me, or that's how my wife does all this, or my partner, or my whatever. And it's then being, which of course you know. So digging into that depth, and really sometimes I think we have to keep digging instead of just being and allowing, and the answers come. It's this fine line, but it's part of adulting. As I tell my own husband, I'm like, oh man, I really had to adult today. You know, and some days it's wonderful, and other days I just want to go be a kid and, like you, get on the horse and go have fun. And that's where I get replenished.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Yeah, it certainly is. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. This is so exciting.
Yeah, thank you. I know, it's wonderful.
Yeah. So tell the audience a little bit more about your My Team Triumph program.
Yes. Okay. Yes. This is a phenomenal program. It is a organization that allows disabled individuals, children, adults, and veterans to partake in endurance athletics. Because what they found is that when able-bodied people are able to help disabled people, everyone wins. In fact, I've seen it time and time again where I really question who wins the most out of those. So it's an organization that allows the able-bodied person to push someone in a running race, or you attach a raft for a swimmer and they can do triathlon.
They get the
wind on their face, and they get to cross these finish lines where in their own body by themselves, they might not be able to do that. But with what we call an angel, who is the person that's actually moving them, they get to cross finish lines. And it's been really remarkable, to say the least. Yeah. I have a huge heart, obviously, for special needs community, both the more overt challenges, but also the silent ones like anxiety and depression, OCD, diabetes, epilepsy. These are very silent diseases that rule and change families. So I see a lot in that in my practice as well.
Gosh, amazing. Okay. So again, this is Amy Hackett-Jones speaking with Trish M. Ward, the Soulful Nutritionist. And if you have a question before we wrap up this amazing call, you can dial in if you're in the States on 646-716-7979, or otherwise send me a private message on Facebook and I will answer your question. Or Trish, sorry, will answer your question. Now, I know you're also going to be launching a new program, an 8-week program in January called Restore Your Health from the Inside Out, which is designed to address gut and brain healing as well as recommitting to yourself on a soulful level. So tell us a little bit more about this. What's involved? What do we need to do to find out more? How much commitment do we need?
Okay. Right. On a scale of 1 to 10, a 10. But then again, we always want to be a 10, right?
Yeah.
Or at least I would say an 8, right? It's going to be launching on January 23rd, and it is a virtual program led by me. It consists of 8 modules that help us really reseed and look at our gut microbiome, because it's directly related to our brain. There's a lot of science out there that suggests this, and we know this to be true. So we work on gut healing to help solve a lot of different things. Weight loss tends to be the one that people look for in the beginning of the year, but honestly, this really is for anybody and everyone, especially people that have anxiety, depression, mental fog. That's a huge piece. And then on top of it, having the physical issues that we look at and address through weekly action steps and homework, I'm also looking at that psychology piece, right? Now, I'm not a trained psychologist, but I am a transformational life coach. So we have an action plan that couples. So you're going to get both the soul and the science homework every week to just move you forward, to just push the needle forward at the start of the year, so it can hit off with a bang, getting you feeling amazing physically, which then will help keep that psychology up there as well, and have you really have just an amazing 2017.
Amazing. Fantastic. So what's the best way for people to find that? Is it that at trishmward.com, or where else can they find that?
They can go to trishmward.com, correct, and they can also go to the actual page for the Restore Your Health from the Inside Out goes up at the end of next week. But if they follow me on Facebook, they'll be brought along completely. And of course, if they were to go to my site, they'll be able to get on a wait list.
Amazing. And so what do you prescribe any kind of physical activity as well as the nutritional side? Do you take care of that?
100%. I do. It is completely bio-individual. A lot of times, depending on what someone's lab reports say to me, I'm able to look at that, look at their science, and adjust accordingly. But movement is imperative to good microbiome, which is good gut health. If without knowing you know, what everyone's everyday is like and what's really going on the inside, I would say at the minimum, walking every day is imperative. We have got to be flushing out toxins that build up in us every day and have that liver working optimally so we can keep a healthy gut and therefore have a healthy brain.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what would be your sort of your recommendation to people starting out on a physical training program, even if it's just walking? Because, I mean, I often say to people, just do something every 48 hours minimum and do something you enjoy doing because you're more likely to stick with it. You share that?
I absolutely do. And I believe more is not more, especially as we age. So if someone comes to me and says, like, oh, I do cardio for 45 minutes and then I go do this, and I'm like, 7 days a week, this is, your poor body doesn't, rest is where the nuggets of goldenness are.
Yeah.
So three times a week, I really believe in high intensity interval training for about 30 minutes.
That's, I love that.
Scientific, right? It's the best on your body. I really do. We need to sweat. It's how our lymphatic system, which is all these amazing little networks underneath our skin. It's the drainage system of our body. And we need to drain our body of, like I said, all the stuff that we just collect from breathing air and drinking water and food. So sweating is a good thing. If someone has a hard time sweating, then I suggest, you know, either ringing me up or finding a practitioner that you know and trust to kind of help you do that, because it's a great way to eliminate toxins. But three times a week is good. And then, of course, like I said, and then walking, the novelty of just walking and observing and being in nature is hugely, hugely beneficial. And people underestimate it, especially you and I, who are like fast and we're like walking. It's that brain shift.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And I remember for a long time, I would never walk anywhere. I just ran everywhere. But I've got used to walking the dogs now too, so that they keep me walking rather than running, which is fun.
That's great. That's so good. That's good. And you slow down and you become good with it.
Yeah. And actually, I often take off my shoes, socks and shoes, and walk barefoot when I can to do some earthing. I just love that.
Grounding. That's like vibrationally fantastic.
Yeah. It's so healing. I just love it. Just incredible. So yeah, go walk barefoot, people.
Go feel that earth underneath your toes, and man, it will do something to you.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, I feel like we've covered the world and back. And I know that you also you also look at this from a perspective of bringing peace to the world. And as you know, world peace is one of my big topics in life, and how it starts with each of us individually. So I just love that when you wrote that. It's like, how can we bring more peace to the world?
You
mentioned that your dream is to create an international community of committed individuals who are looking to actualize their being and their health, and in turn offer the world peace and love. I love that.
Oh, thank you. That comes from the deepest part of me, so that's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you.
And doesn't that just feel so good?
It does.
Don't you just want more of it always? That is like sunshine in your pocket.
There you go. Let's start dancing. But we all have that capability. We are all that gift.
Yeah.
And, you know, on days where we need that ray of sunshine, it's like we are deeply connected by knowing who we are and honoring ourselves. We are bringing peace to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Trish, thank you so, so much. If anybody would like to connect with Trish, please do so. TrishMWard.com, or you can follow her on Instagram, Trish M. Ward, Twitter, etc., Facebook, Trish M. Ward. That's where you'll find her. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. It's been such a huge joy to connect with Trish again and to share these nuggets and pearls of wisdom with you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I had so much fun. And more sunshine in my pocket the third time round. It's just amazing. I love it. love it. Go, Justin. So this was the 21st episode of the Being Brilliant Show with Amy Hackett-Jones of www.amyhackett.com. Trish M. Ward was my brilliant guest. Thank you so much, Trish. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Go out there and be your brilliant selves, everybody. And until next time, ciao for now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you love the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.